Happy Mother's Day.
Whoa.
Well, there's a lot of things to be considering this morning. First off, Diane Bridges played Be Still My Soul, which may be one of my favorite hymns of all time. Thank you for doing that. And then Teresa, I'm just still blown away. When you tell your story, don't ever stop telling your story. I think so many people need to hear it, and what God has done is so good. And then I'm not going to point out people, but hopefully you guys will figure it out without too much pointing out. But somebody made us a really nice Mother's Day treat station today. So all the ladies of our church, as you make your way out today, help yourself to some treats and a gift bag. Also, we have a couple bouquets of flowers, and all the ladies of the church today can take some flowers. If there's any left and you want to take some for your mom or your daughter or whatever, feel free. My wife said to remind you that some of the red roses are real red roses, and they have real thorns. So be careful when you pull those out. Man, you guys, I don't think you know, but God, I think, is going to do something amazing in some hearts this morning if we'll just listen. Okay, it's a lot of content, but I'm going to just try to follow the Lord in that. Hopefully we won't be here too awfully long. But the message today is on forgiveness. Anybody here been forgiven? Amen? I've been forgiven. And that makes all the difference. So maybe the message for you today is for you about forgiveness, but maybe it's for you to take to someone else who needs to know that message, okay? So let's listen to the Lord today. I think you can be encouraged, hopefully be very encouraged today as we make our way through this message. If you'd like, you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 is where we're going to start today. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians is where we're going to go. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ," what? "God forgave you." Have you ever had trouble forgiving someone? Right? Probably most of us in here have had some point in our life that someone did something to us that we knew was wrong. Maybe the rest of the world didn't know that, but we knew it. And we were so frustrated and angry and upset about it. And it is hard sometimes, right? In a couple weeks, I believe, we're going to go over this idea. We've talked about it before. It's a very important truth. It's called justifiable resentment. And we'll be digging into that a little deeper. But here's the message today that I think you need to take with you. And that is that God forgave you. God forgave you. So I hope that you hear the word of God this morning as he speaks to your heart. Just real quick, from last week, we talked about the secret. Through the death and the resurrection, Jesus cleanses the ugliest of sins and brings reconciliation to those who will acknowledge and own their sin before their Creator, right? Did anybody have any secrets to share last week? All right. Hopefully we can own our sins just like we talked about David owning his sin. And again, when we talk about this idea of being stuck, it is doing or enduring the same thing over and over, hoping something will change, but never realizing the changes that will effectively bring healing. And so we want to get out of that. Again, I do want to remind everyone, I don't want you to forget this, Teresa mentioned today about dealing with addiction. And we have still quite a few of these Celebrate Recovery Bibles, and it kind of merges some of the truths that come out of a 12-step program, and then it highlights those, the scriptural principles that highlight those truths. If you know somebody that would use one of these Bibles, please take it and give it to them. And then also, again, if you guys can pray for Michael and everybody on Wednesday night that's going through Healing as a Choice, it's been really good study. If you guys want to take one of these with you today, we have like 6 or 7 in the family room. Feel free to take either one of these today. And we want to make sure that everybody that needs or could use one has one. But we are really hoping to help people make their way out of being stuck. Every week I've been doing a different profile, right? A different kind of story about what it means to be stuck. I think last week we did kind of the mom at home, and a couple weeks ago we did a man who was having struggling in his marriage. Well, today the stuck profile is about a dead-end job. You don't have to raise your hands, but have you ever been in a dead-end job? See if this may identify with some stories today. Jeff has been trying to keep up appearances for the past couple of years. He looks great on the outside, but he's stuck in a job that he hates. It almost pays the bills. He'd love to go to school so he could prepare to be what he really wants to be, but who has money or time for that? It would be such a huge risk, and he's afraid of what the unknown might bring. What if he never finds the job that he wants? He decides to keep trudging along in the job he hates, growing more bitter each day. The bitterness is eating him away and affecting everyone around him. He decides to what? You finish the story, right? And really, when you think about it, with the Lord's help, we get to finish the story, right? We can stay stuck. We can let the bitterness eat away at us. We can try to medicate it ourselves without seeking the Lord's healing and real forgiveness. Or we can actually give our hurt and our pain to the Lord and help him navigate our way through and really rewrite an ending that gives God the glory and fills us with great joy. And the way we do that, again, I'm going to say this every week, I hope, is the gospel, the gospel. Here again, it is again. Because Jesus has paid the penalty for sin and lived a perfect, righteous life, we can be reconciled to God and freed from the shame and the guilt of sin. Thank you, Michael. Did you guys hear that? Not just Michael, but did you hear what the Lord is saying? You literally can have freedom from guilt and shame. I promise you. Because I have it. Because I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can have it. Most of you guys in here, you know it. And so you need to take that story out to people who don't know it so they can have what you know, and that is that freedom. I really like this story. It's, again, the idea about forgiveness. There was a priest in the Philippines who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He had repented but still had no sense of God's forgiveness. In his church was a woman who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ and he with her. The priest, however, was very skeptical. To test her, he said, "The next time you speak with Jesus, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in Bible college." Well, the woman agreed. A few days later, the priest asked, "Well, did Christ visit you in your dreams?" "Yes, he did," she replied. "And did you ask him what sin I committed in Bible college?" "Yes." "Well, what did he say?" He said, "I don't remember." What? The Lord says our sins are on the bottom of the ocean floor. He says they're as far as the east is from the west. That is how great your Lord loves you. And when you truly repent, and when you truly say, "Lord, I confess and repent, and I give this to you, and you come in and change me," he doesn't remember them anymore. All right, I about shouted really bad about it. Some of you were sleeping. I didn't want to scare you, right? What a great, great truth, all right? Last week, we looked at the devastation sin can bring, and it did in the life of King David. And again, until you take the first step of real repentance, you're not going to experience true forgiveness. And so as we get started today, I want you to realize that there is real forgiveness, and then there is also a pseudo or a fake forgiveness. Let's see if you guys have heard this or maybe can identify this. The fake kind of forgiveness, it can really stifle you and to make you bitter and eventually kill you. And sometimes it looks like this. Maybe you've heard this phrase before, have you? What you need to do is forgive and forget and move on. Right? Does that sound familiar? I think I heard that when I was a young person. Maybe heard it even as an older person. Just let it go and move on, right? And there's a problem if you let stuff go without really dealing with it. And I think what people really are doing, instead of forgiving and forgetting and moving on, here's what they're doing. They're ignoring, they're denying, and then they stay stuck. Do we have any good stuffers in the room? Right? What's a stuffer do? They take those feelings that they're feeling, the anger, the hurt, the pain, the guilt, the shame, and they just like, right? You keep doing it, you keep stuffing it down. Oh, okay, I'm just gonna, right? What eventually happens? Right? That's what happens. So what I want you to see today, what the Lord I think is going to speak, if you'll hear him, not me, listen to the Lord today, is that he doesn't want you just to forgive, forget, and move on. He wants you to deal with the grief and the hurt and the shame and the guilt. And he wants you to repent of your part, but then seek him for the healing. And I promise you, it is available to those who believe, all right? Again, sometimes when people hear these terms, they want to just pretend that some things didn't really happen, but we're not talking about denial when we talk about forgiveness. We're talking about really dealing with what we need to deal with. Again, we look to the cross. In order for God to remember our sins no more, he still had to have those sins paid for, atoned for. If you decide to approach your hurts with ignore and a deny philosophy, you will stay stuck. All right, can you hear me right now? If you guys can hear this part, you can go to sleep the whole rest of the time, all right? You ready? I got three things. Usually I'm not a three-point preacher, but I got three today. It's real simple, right? First thing today I want you to hear is you have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Simple, clear, you have been forgiven if you'll receive it. Second thing today, this is a harder one, you need to forgive others. But preacher, I don't want to forgive others. I'm still mad at them. You need to figure out, with the Lord's help, how you're going to forgive others. And the third thing today, and I think sometimes maybe this is a harder one that people don't recognize till they encounter it, is that some of you today, you need to forgive yourself. And so if you'll listen to the Lord today, we're going to work through these three ideas very simply. You've been forgiven, you need to forgive others, and you need to forgive yourself. Let's look first off this morning, forgiveness from above. And we're going to learn and remind ourselves about Jesus. If you'd like, you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life. Everybody catch that? What kind of life? A sinful life. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, very, very expensive perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Just a very extravagant example of love. Verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a what? She's a sinner. Why is Jesus letting this sinful woman do this act? Verse 40, Jesus, again, knowing everything, he answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Verse 43, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Oh, this is so good. I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Verse 45, you did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Verse 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Do you love little or a lot today? Hello? Right? Do we need to go down? Wayne Watson, he used to tell this story. He was a Christian musician way back in the day. He's like, I could tell you about all the nights that I was drunk and all the affairs I had and all the terrible things that I did. He said, but if I did, I'd be lying. He didn't have that kind of testimony, but his testimony was still that God had saved him from a life of abandoning God. You guys, your preacher without the Lord would have been down a very arrogant path where he completely trusted in himself, and thankfully the Lord redeemed me and saved me from that. And it is a huge thing that I was forgiven. And so I love a lot, right? Sometimes we make fun of people that love a lot, right? Can you believe that person in church? They're just so happy and always loving, smiling, and like wanting to dance and everything. What is wrong with them, right? Don't they know that when you come to church, you need to sit very still and just pay attention and be quiet and not be the center of attention? Oh, I can't believe they did this. Can you imagine the people around the dinner table at Simon's house? Hear me, you got this? Are you tracking? They would have been like, can you believe this woman? Who is she? She must really have some attention, or she needs a lot of attention, right? She wants to be the center. I can't believe that she would actually cry over his feet and then wipe his feet with her hair. Oh, this is such a display. How in the world could the prophet guy actually let this woman do such a thing like that? And what did Jesus say? Whoever's been forgiven little loves little. I think that was for Simon. Or maybe it was for me, right? When you see somebody expressing incredible love to Jesus, just let them do it, amen, right? And really be thankful for the forgiveness that you have found. We talk about this truth so often, and I'm afraid sometimes we're almost apathetic to it, and I hope that we never get there. My friend Stacy today, I'd reached out to him in a prayer, and I said, I hope this truth never becomes trite. The very Son of God shed his most precious blood that we might be reconciled to God and freed from guilt and shame that we have carried for so long. And again, this is the gospel. And real quick, I want to talk just for a second here about the difference between a pardon and propitiation. We didn't get pardon, we got propitiation. What's pardon? Is there any other Law and Order fans besides Wendy and myself? Dun dun! Right? What's pardon? Pardon is because I'm in charge, I can let you off the hook and I can declare you forgiven or free from your debts or your death sentence. I'm in control and I can say, hey, don't have to worry about it. It's a very familiar practice whenever presidents change office in our country, right? Are you tracking with me there, right? You remember that? Whenever the next guy or the next lady comes in office, the last person right before they leave, what do? They write off all the pardons, right? I'm going to let off this person. I'm going to let off this person. I'm going to forgive and really let all these things go. Now, if you were one of the families that had been offended by the person that got the pardon, how would you feel? What? Nobody had to pay for it? You're just letting them off the hook? Ugh, right? Wouldn't that really just make you so angry? We're not talking pardon here today. Jesus didn't just pardon you. He didn't just say, hey, don't worry about the sin thing. It's not a problem. We'll just let it go. We're talking about what? Propitiation. What does propitiation mean? It's not pardon. It means payment. Right? Somebody has to pay. And somebody has to pay for your sin debt and my sin debt. And who was that? It was Jesus. And not only did he pay for our sin debt, not only did he take our hell, literally, but what else did he do? He lived a perfectly righteous life. I think I don't tell that point enough. Yes, your sin debt is forgiven. Yes, you get to not have to worry about the punishment for your sin. But on the positive side is Jesus lived a perfect life, and you get that too. So you know what that means? That means reconciliation. That means redemption. That means resurrection. That means inheritance. That means heaven. woo-hoo, thank you. Right? Are you understanding that truth? Propitiation is both sides. It's not only do I not get the negative, but I get this incredible positive because Jesus took my place. He didn't just say, "Ah, don't worry about it, I'm in control, we don't have a problem." Jesus paid your debt. Propitiation is when Jesus said, "It'll be okay and you're forgiven." It is because he took your beating, he paid your fine, he took your gallows and your electric chair. He took your place. The theologians call this substitutionary atonement, but you and I, we call it amazing grace. Amen? Yes. That's why substitution is so important. We're not just talking pardon. We're talking someone took my place. Hear me again this morning. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. If you will honestly and thoroughly repent of your sins, Jesus is willing and able to redeem your life and to bring healing to your shame and your guilt-filled soul. And again, I'm speaking from personal testimony. I know what it is to be forgiven, and I know what it is to be forgiven a lot. And Jesus offers forgiveness today, no matter what we have done. All right, number one. We're moving along pretty good, right? For your preacher, he's really long-winded. I feel like that, but it's not bad. What's the first thing? You have been what? Forgiven. You. Jesus died for you, and you've been forgiven. And he paid for it. He didn't just pardon it. Today, if you're wrestling with this truth, hear the gospel that says Jesus loves you, he died for you, he paid for your sin, so you can be forgiven. Somebody may need to hear that today. But my guess is there's a lot of people in your world today that when you go out of this place, they need to hear that truth. They have been forgiven. Jesus paid for it. All right? Again, the battle's already been won. Second truth today is that sometimes we need to forgive others. Again, I'm going to go back to where we started, Ephesians 4:32. And we're going to look at an example here from the Bible from Joseph. But Ephesians 4:32, the scripture says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Here's the thing. When you come to the reconciliation of who you were without the blood, without the covering of Jesus, what a wicked, evil sinner you were, and then that debt gets taken care of, you don't mind forgiving other people of their debts. Are you tracking with that? Let's say that some of you went on a spending spree. What are you going to buy today? Anybody? Give me something big. What would you buy? Flowers, is that what you said? Flowers are expensive, so they could be a lot. You might buy a house. We were talking this weekend, somebody talked about buying a McLaren. You know what a McLaren is, David? It's a fancy car, right, isn't it? It's probably pretty expensive, I'm guessing. I don't know. David or Jacob might know prices on a McLaren. Nope. Maybe you would buy, you know, a big mansion. I'm always surprised how much this house right behind us, when it was sold, I was like, whoa, that went for a lot of money, right? What if you had $1 million debt and you couldn't pay it? What if what you needed was $1 million so you could live where you lived, you could eat, you could sleep, you could have your family there, but you couldn't pay it, and all of it was going to all be gone, and then somebody stepped in and said, "That's okay, I got this." How would you feel about that person? You know, when Teresa's doing this all the time, see everybody? I'd be doing that every 5 minutes. Can you? You know what I'd probably, you know how your preacher is? I probably shouldn't do this, but what your preacher would do, I'd have to tell everybody. "Missy, did you know that they paid my $1 million? Todd, did you hear that they paid? Melissa, did you hear they paid my $1 million? Miss Kay, did you know I owed $1 million? And they..." Right? I'd have to tell it. I'd have to share it. I'd have to say, "I owe this." And it got paid. Now, if somebody came up to me a little later and said, somebody that I had loaned $20, right? It's probably Alex. I don't know if he's going to come through on his debts or not. No, actually, Alex is really good. He was going to pay me for a card last week and I was trying to give it to him. Alex, let's say he owed me $20. Now, I could really be a jerk, right? And say, "Hey, man, exactly, where's my money?" And Alex would be like, didn't you owe $1 million and that guy paid all your money? He paid your debt? And really, if I'm recognizing what I've been forgiven, I'm like, man, don't you ever worry about that, because I've been forgiven the greatest thing, right? But what happens to us so many times is what? We get so wrapped up in our little self and our little life that we want to worry about $20 when we've been forgiven $1 million. And this is the truth today. When you recognize what Christ forgave in you, I can forgive. Amen? All right, bear with me here real quick. If you're stuck in a place today because you can't forgive someone for what they have done to you, we may need to begin back at the cross. As we begin to realize our own sins and our debts and how the Lord gave of himself to release us from those debts, the offenses of our brothers and sisters begin to diminish. So let's look in Genesis 45. Again, bear with me, just a very quick synopsis. I know you guys, many of you have heard the story of Joseph, so we're not going to rehash the whole thing. But I want you to see in the example of this man how he was able to forgive some of the most atrocious things that were ever done to another family member of all things. In Genesis 45 and verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." All right. Everybody remember this real quick? How many brothers Joseph have? 11, okay. Can you imagine having 11 brothers? And probably sisters too. That's a lot, isn't it, right? And early on, Joseph's dad, what did he give him to Joseph that nobody else got? He got a special coat of many colors, right? So he's looking pretty good. His dad loves him. Joseph even had some dreams early on. What was in his dreams? "Someday all these stars and the sun and moon are going to bow down to me." Who was he referring to? His own family. So I'm sure that they thought he had a complex, right? So they decided to resolve that problem, didn't they? What did they decide to do with their brother? We're going to see if we can end him, was the first option. But thankfully, somebody stood up and said, "No, I don't think we should kill him." And so instead, they just threw him in a pit. Well, after that happened for a little while, they thought, well, maybe that's not the best thing. We can make a little money off this deal. And so they sold him into slavery to some Ishmaelites, right? Made a little cash. And then what did they go back and tell their dad? "Oh, this horrible animal came and just tore Joseph to shreds. Here's that colored coat, and here's all the blood on it. You can see, we're sorry, Dad, but he's no longer with us." If that wasn't bad enough, where does Joseph end up next? He's serving a guy by the name of Potiphar, right? A guy that is very wealthy. And Joseph starts to establish himself again. He's like, maybe my life is going to get better. It started out pretty bad. My own brothers tried to kill me, threw me in a pit, sold me as a slave. But now I'm in a pretty good business deal here. My master trusts me. Things are going good. Maybe my life's about to turn. And then what happens? Mrs. Potiphar. What a terrible woman, right? She tries to get Joseph to come into her arms, and he basically says, "I cannot do such a thing and sin against who? God," right? He refuses her, and then she maligns him and accuses him of terrible things, and he ends up where? In jail, in prison, right? How do you think he's feeling about his brothers right about now? Again, justifiable resentment. We're probably going to go through all this in greater detail, but I want you to just think about it again here briefly. So then he's in prison. Probably thinking things are just not going to work out. Some guys come to a baker and a butler. They have some dreams. They share with Joseph. Joseph interprets the dreams. And they come to pass just like he said. And he tells them, "Hey, when you get out of this place, make sure that you remember me and let the king know so that I can get out of this spot." And do they do that? Finally, he makes his way out. He gets to speak to the king because the king has a dream. And Joseph interprets the king's dreams. And then what does the king do with Joseph? This is crazy. You're not following, because what happens is Joseph is a Hebrew. He's an Israelite. He gets made second highest in all of what country? Not Israel. Egypt. It'd be like us having somebody from Brazil be our vice president. Just crazy, right? He gets that position, and he's preparing them for famine. And the next thing you know, the brothers come in because they need some food. They need to be able to have a place. And then Joseph here reveals to them that, oh, by the way, I'm Joseph. I'm the one you put in the pit. I'm the one that you left for dead. I'm the one that you sold into slavery. And now you need a little help from me. Anybody feeling that? Oh, I've been waiting for years for this opportunity. I'm going to get mine, and now it's coming to you. But is that what he does? Look again in verse 5. He says, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. He saw God's purpose in his pain. Really? He saw God's purpose in his pain. If you would, let's look there, verse 6. For 2 years now, there's been famine. For the next 5 years, there'll be not plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his household, and ruler of Egypt. Look over in chapter 50, verse 19. Again, Joseph speaks to them. He says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Just save that for later. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. All right. Can we talk about this just for a second? When you look at Joseph's story, you're going to realize forgiveness doesn't always come right away. Sometimes you're told that, right? You're told, hey, you're a Christian. You need to forgive right now. You need to forget, forgive, and move on, right? But what we know now is that even from a scriptural example, we need some time to process through these things. And Joseph had already been working through all this stuff to recognize he was not in the place of God, and it was for God's purpose. And it took that time for him to process in order to make his way to forgiveness. Again, sometimes we need time to process the hurt. I don't think Joseph was ready to buddy up with his brothers after they threw him in the pit and sold him into slavery. I don't think he was ready to sit down to dinner with Mrs. Potiphar after she threw him into prison. But Joseph ultimately would be able to forgive because it took some time to process what had happened to him. Again, verse 19, Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You wanted to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many, many lives. That phrase, am I in the place of God? Here's what I want you to see today. It is not your place to seek revenge. That's hard, isn't it, right? Especially if it's afforded you. Joseph could have really taken it out on his brothers, but it wasn't his place. He submitted to God's plan. He saw God's purpose in his affliction. And through his incredible faith, he was able to make his way through this process. Can you guys listen for just a second here? I want you to think about our church family. I want us to be a place where people who have been hurt, who have been terribly hurt, can find a safe place to grieve and to share their frustration. We're not looking for perfect people here. Right? Ray got us the little thing right out the front of the door. What's it say? Come as you are. Right? You guys, please help us be a place where people come in with the grief, with the addiction, with the pain, with the hurt, seeking revenge, not understanding, in confusion, and they come in here and they can find family. That's what we want this place to be. And because of that, people are to make their way to the cross and find healing. Today, if you're having trouble forgiving, one of the best things you can do is remind yourself how much you've been forgiven. And then ask yourself, am I in the place of God? All right. One, you've been forgiven. Two, forgive others. Last one, this is going to go quickly, forgive yourself. Sometimes, even though we know the Lord has forgiven us, and even though the person we've hurt has even forgiven us, we still just can't get past the offense ourselves that we have done. Again, we went over this just a few months ago. We did the Prodigal series, I think back in January. But just a quick reminder about forgiving ourselves. This is the place where we must grieve our mistakes and our trespasses, but then let them go after we have grieved them and repented because of them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Anybody know this verse? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? What's the three-letter word? Oh. Some of you are like, well, Jesus, I'm sure he could forgive me for speeding. I'm sure he could forgive me for overeating. But if he really knew what I did, you would know he couldn't forgive me for this. What does it say? All but this one? All but these three? All but the big ones? If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you don't have that memorized, you don't have it highlighted, do that. All right, real quick. In John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then the third time, verse 17, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Look right here, verse 17. Peter was what? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Anybody here ever messed up? Right? That was so stupid. Why did I do that? I did something last Sunday. It was like completely contrary to the scripture, and it didn't hit me till like 5 minutes later. I'm like, oh, what a fool. And I had to repent, which was saying sorry to the Lord, but then I had to go and make amends for the thing that I did. Right? That's what repentance is, right? It's not just saying, oops, but it's also actually making things right for where you can for the thing you messed up. Here, Peter did the unthinkable. Remember again, I used this a few times when we had on a Good Friday, we had the board, and we were supposed to go and write, I do not know him. Well, Peter said that. He didn't just write it. He said it three times. He said it three times after Jesus even told him he would do it. He still went ahead and did it. And he felt horrible. Now, if you were writing Peter's stuck story, what could have happened? He could have beat himself over and over again. Have you ever done that? Right? Some of you are really professional at that, by the way. You know what I'm talking about? It's always like, oh, I was so terrible. Oh, I messed up. Oh, I'm just worthless. I'm useless. I'm whatever. And eventually the Lord's trying to tell you, hey, I got plans for you. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Repent. Come to me. I'll forgive you. And then we're going to go do great things. By the way, what happened with Peter? Did he end up just with a wasted, useless life? Right? Peter, he's out there fishing. The Lord says, cast the nets on the other side. He's like, we haven't caught anything. He does what the Lord says. The next thing you know, there's 153 fish in these nets. That's quite a few fish, by the way. He makes his way to the shore. Why? Because who's on the shore? He knows it's Jesus. He gets to sit down with his master. They eat and talk. And then Jesus says these simple things. He says, oh, Peter, do you love me? And what's Peter thinking? First off, oh, Lord, it's a great. It's so good to see you. I'm so glad. I'm reminded of the first time you called me and we caught the fish. Here you are saying it again. We caught the fish again. I just thought everything was going to go horrible, but look, it's turned out amazing. Yes, I love you. And then Jesus says, what? Feed my sheep. He's like, okay, I think I can do that. Sit around just a little bit more, maybe have another little piece of fish or something. I don't know how it all worked out. Wonder what they had with their fish. That would be interesting, right? And then Peter asks him again. Peter, do you love me? Okay, I thought we already had this conversation. Oh, yeah, Lord, this is good. Yeah, I love you. It's great. So good to see you. Glad we're here. Doing good. And then a third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Why'd you do that, Lord? You know how sorry I was? That was terrible. That's the worst thing I could have ever done, and I did it. Why did you have to bring it up again? So you could deal with it, Peter. So you could three times reaffirm what three times you denied, and that is, you love me. And this is penology here, but this is what the preacher's saying. Peter, you need to forgive yourself because I have forgiven you, and I have great things for you, Peter. Some of you today, you're still beating yourself up over something that happened so long ago. And probably at one point you did repent and you did confess, but the devil keeps bringing it up to your mind and telling you where you messed up and all these mistakes you did, and it's your fault. And what the Lord is trying to speak to you today is that he knows that you love him, and if you'll repent and if you will give your heart to him, he has big plans for you, and it's time now to move forward. This person that denied Jesus three times would go on to preach and see 3,000 people saved. He began the beginning of the church in Jerusalem that would ultimately spread all the way to Indianapolis, Indiana today. Oh yeah. God loves taking people who feel like they're useless and worthless and changing them into doing great things. All right. Bear with me. What was the three things? The first thing was you have been forgiven. You have today. I hope you know that. You've been forgiven by the very blood of Jesus. He died on a cross so you could be forgiven. The guilt and the shame can go away. He paid for it. Second thing today, sometimes the harder thing, is you need to do what? You need to forgive others. It's not easy, right? And sometimes the hurt is real, and sometimes we're still making our way through the process, but we need the Lord's help to forgive others. And then the third thing today, and I know that some of you heard it today because I can see by your expressions, you need to forgive who? You need to forgive yourself, right? The Lord redeemed you. He saved you. He's got plans for you. Don't live in the pain, in the hurt, because there's really good things if you will pursue him. What is your decision today? Are you still thinking that maybe you can get through this on your own? If you do, just like that kite, you're never going anywhere. But if you'll come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help, and you beg him, he will do what he did for that woman with that alabaster jar of perfume. He'll say, your sins are forgiven. Amen? And then her story has been told for 2,000 years. What an incredible thing, right? Because she humbled herself enough to go and to worship the Lord. Amen. Forgiveness is waiting for you. What we need to do is own our sin, acknowledge our hurt, but also truly acknowledge the love and the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus, and accept it. I remember when I first found forgiveness. It was with an old pen and a Schofield Bible. I love this today because my mom and dad are here today. And when we had just had a house built, and I still remember it had like these big hills that they went down. And I still have never forgiven them for giving me a girl's bicycle. It was a rusted, huffy bicycle. It had a big old banana seat on it. And I made my way down this hill, and I remember very vividly, because what happened was I came home one day, and the Lord was speaking to my heart, and my dad could recognize it, and he began to lead me down this thing in the scriptures called the Romans Road. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And he pulled this pen out of his Schofield Bible. He still has the Bible at home. And he said, Travis, if you want this pen, what do you have to do? I was like, I don't know. I guess just take it. And he's like, that's it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You just receive what you've been given. And then I remember still this old brown couch and being done. And my dad was like, well, if you were to die today, do you know you'd be in heaven with the Lord? And I was like, yes. Six-year-old boy. Yes. So I got on that girl's bicycle, and you know what I did? Just like somebody that forgave me of $1 million, what did I do? I had to tell it. I went down to Brandon Horn's house. I slid in the rock driveway, scraped up my knees, but I didn't care because I had to tell Brandon what Jesus had done for me. And you guys, I've had all kinds of mistakes and sins and failures since, but my whole life since has been on a trajectory to know and to pursue Jesus. Because he forgave me. Amen. And that helps keep me from being stuck. Today, I'm begging you, if you're stuck, do the same thing. Give it to the Lord. All right, let's finish where we end. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. I want you to read this last verse together. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, what happened? God forgave you. Let's have our musicians to come. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn called Whiter Than Snow. And the Lord can take your blackened heart and make it as white as snow if you would just offer yourself to Him.